You are listening to the Proof Producers Podcast, where we reach the world with the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to experience a never-ending increase in every area of life. If you're ready for a revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here is your host, Pastor Augustine Mpemba Jr.
Well, I'm going to go right into it. Moving from survival to greatness. That's a nice message. Oh, yes. Moving from what?
Survival
to greatness. Oh, you guys like the title, right? All right. I like it too. Trying to figure out where to take off from. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. Remember we said your pen and paper are smarter than what? Let's try it again. Your pen and paper are smarter than what? Than you. Yes, so make sure when you come, you either have your pen and paper or you're writing something down. Hallelujah. The Word of God is able to change your life. Say, the Word of God is able to change my life. Yes. Yes, it is. It is able to change your life. Acts chapter number 20, verse 32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. Say, give you an inheritance. Yes. I wish Faith was up there. She's here because she flows in the scriptures. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able. The word of God, it says, able. Yes, it's able. This is the most precious thing. The Word of God, the most precious thing. If you want to see success in your life, you get His Word in you. Joshua chapter number 1 from verse number 5 going down. Let this book of the Lord not depart from your what? Come on, guys. From your mouth. But thou shalt meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For therein you make your way what? Prosperous. And have what? Good success. Come on, does anybody want to be prosperous? Does anybody want to have good success? Yes. It says the word of God when you meditate. Yeah. It says when you meditate it. It says it will make you prosperous. It will make you prosperous. Wow. Did you hear that? All right, we'll get to my message in a second. Joshua chapter number 1. Oh, hallelujah. I'm getting excited. Let's go to verse 5. Go back one verse, verse 4. Oh, Jesus. Let's start from verse 1. Happens all the time. I should learn by now. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Say, arise.
Arise.
Yes, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3. Are you following?
Yes.
Are we together? Moses has died. Now, this is Moses' assistant. He's about to take over. This is God speaking to him. Every place the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Verse 4. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and all the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
Oh, we serve an amazing God.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The same God that was with Moses, and then he was with Joshua. Hallelujah. And then he was with the judges. Then he was with Esther. And then he was with Jesus. And then he was with Paul and Peter and John and all the disciples. That same God is with us. That same promise still stands. He will never leave you or forsake you. Verse number 6. Be strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
We're talking about moving from what? Surviving to what?
Greatness.
To greatness. Number 1, be strong. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
Yes. You got to be strong. Can't be weak. Both guys and ladies.
Amen.
Yeah, ladies, you got to be strong. You got to be tough. God told Joshua, be strong. Yes. And of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse number 7. Now listen to what he's telling them. He says, only be strong. I think I studied a couple months ago. I think he said be strong 4 or 5 times in one passage. He says be strong and courageous. He says only be strong. Only be strong. And very courageous. You know, first he says be strong and courageous. Now he's saying only be strong and be very courageous. Yes, it takes courage. Greatness takes courage. Yes, it takes courage to be great. It takes courage to go where other people haven't gone. It takes courage to push beyond the status quo. It takes courage to break a generational curse. To break a habit that's been happening. It takes courage. It takes you being strong. It says only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. Hey! What's up? Wow. Incredible. It says the word of God, the law, which Moses commanded, it says don't turn from it. Don't turn from it. You know, it's an interesting thing when you talk to young people. Say, I want to be successful. I want to do this thing and this. And it's amazing. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I hate people who dream small. I just do. Isn't it like you don't, they're boring, right? When people have no aspirations. You remember we talked about leadership? It's going to be an exam tomorrow, RTBI students. Define leadership. What do we say leadership is? Say that again. That's my definition.
Inspiring others to aspire to your aspirations. Inspiring others to aspire to your aspirations.
Yeah. Did you catch that? Leadership is what? Inspiring others to aspire to what? Your aspirations. Right? But how can you inspire others if you're thinking small? Doesn't make sense. You can't. You know, you tell them what you want to do and it's so small, it's like everybody's like, but be strong, he said. Dream, think big, be very courageous. It takes courage to dream big. Yes. I said it takes courage to dream big. You know, tonight's going to be a good night. All right, let's go. I haven't even gone into my scripture. You see? Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. Verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. I want to make my way prosperous. I want to have good success. I want to go from surviving to greatness. Hallelujah. I want to go from just barely making it to greatness. And the word of God is the prescription for that. Did you hear what I just said? The word of God is what? He said You see, anybody who served God, don't let the world deceive you. Everybody, actually, let me put it that way, because it's true. Everybody who served God made an impact in their generation. Everybody. He made them rich, wealthy, influential. They lived a life of purpose and meaning when they encountered God. Their life wasn't just, you know, lived. We'll see something in a couple minutes. I'm getting ahead of myself. But their life wasn't just wasted. Their time wasn't just wasted on earth, but it was purposeful. And it had a meaning. And we reference these guys till today because of what they did. They walked with God. Amen? Amen. I said they walked with God. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 9 to my message. It's going to be a long reading. Help me. 1 Samuel chapter number 9. Verse number 1. It says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. Do you guys love the word of God?
Yes.
Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Are you following?
Yes.
All right. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zero, the son of whatever that is, the son of Apiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. So this man was a mighty man of power. Verse 2. And he had a choice and handsome son. Hello, ladies. He had a choice and handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than all the people. Verse 3. Now the donkey of Kish, Saul's father, was lost. Let me just read it from here. My neck hurts looking up. But please flow with me. Verse number 3. It says, now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost, and Kish said to his son Saul, please take one of the servants with you, and arise, go and look for the donkeys. So they passed through the mountain of Ephraim and through the land of Shalisha, but they did not find them. Then they passed through the land of Shalim, and they were not there. Then he passed through the land of Benjamin, the Benjamites, but did not find them. When he had come to the land of Zeus, Saul said to his servant who was with him, come, let us return, lest my father cease caring for the donkeys and become worried about us. Are you following?
Yeah.
Verse number 6, and he said to him, look now, there is in this city a man of God. Say, a man of God.
Yeah.
And he is an honorable man. All that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there. Perhaps he can show us the way that we should go. Wow. Hey. You know, back in the day, they didn't have any iPhone or Android. They couldn't just Google, you know. But there were such people called men of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Like how Google, you can search, where are my donkeys? And they'll tell you where you are. Or you can put an Apple tag on a donkey and you can find out where it is. They didn't have that back in the day. But they had men of God. Amazing. All right. Show us the way we should go. Verse number 7. Then Saul said to his servants, but look, if we go, what shall we bring the man? What a revelation, I'm telling you. For the bread in our vessel is all gone, and there is no present to bring the man of God. What do we have? Then the servant answered Saul again and said, look, I have here in my hand 1/4 of the shekel of silver. I will give that to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he spoke thus, come, let us go to the seer, for he who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Are you following me? It's a long reading, so please follow. Verse number 10, then Saul said to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went to the city where the man of God was. Verse number 11, as they went up the hill in the city, they met some young woman going out to draw water and said to them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry now, for today he came to the city, because there is a sacrifice of the people today on a high place. As soon as you come into the city, you will surely find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice. Afterwards, those who are invited will eat. Now, therefore, go up, for about this time you will find him. So They went up to the city, and they were coming into. They went up to the city. As they were coming into the city, there was Samuel. Say Samuel, coming out towards them on his way up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear that day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time I will send a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people, Israel, that he may save my people from the hands of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people because their cry has come towards me." Verse number 17. So Samuel saw Saul, the Lord. So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, "There he is, the man whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people." Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Please tell me, where is the seer's house?" Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your heart. But as for you and your donkeys that were lost three days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found, and of whom is all the desire of Israel." It's all the desire of Israel. "It is not on you and all, it's not on you and on all your father's house." Verse number 21. And Saul answered and said, I am not a Benjamite. Of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then do you speak to me like this?" Now Samuel took Saul, his servant, and brought them into the hill, into the hall, and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited. There were about 30 persons. Amen? All right, we're talking about moving from surviving to greatness. Here was a man called Saul, and he was just living an ordinary life, the son of his father, searching for what? When God had ordained him to be king. Do you see that? Living an ordinary life when God had actually ordained him to be a king. It's a good question to ask. Are you just living an ordinary life? Are you just surviving? Going through the motions of life? Is that what you're doing? Oh, I'm in my 20s. I just finished college. I'm just working. I'm just hoping to work here for 30 years and then retire and get a, you know the story. Is that what you're doing? God had ordained this man to be a king. God had ordained Saul to be a king. This is the man who I've chosen to rule over my people. Hallelujah. God was using a man of God. Like God has sent me tonight to speak to you. To tell you, hey, you got to move from surviving. There's more. God has a great plan for you. The Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you." Not plans of evil. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and unexpected end. Psalms chapter 38, "Let them shout for joy, them that favor your cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who finds pleasure in the prosperity of his people." God finds pleasure in your lifting. God doesn't want you to live an ordinary life. The Bible says that you and I were purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Not by the blood of bulls or goats. We are valuable to God. So our life should not be just be wasted. Going through the motions of life. Dictated by what the government says. Dictated by what society says. No. God is looking for men and women who will look up to him and catch his vision and his dream. Yes, that's what he's looking for. Young people will say, "Lord, wherever you take me, I'll go. However high you lift me, I'll be lifted. Lord, I see what you've called me to do." You have a choice to make. And you have a choice to make when you're young particularly. You know, when you hit your 50s and 60s, it's too late. Not too late, honestly. God can do anything. But you're out of time. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, "It is good, He says, remember your creator in the days of your youth, when you're still strong. Lamentations chapter 7 says, it is good for a young man to bear his yoke when he's young. It's good for a man to bear his yoke when he's yet young. So in this age group where you are, is the best time to make a decision for Jesus. Yes. It's the best time to say, God, I catch that dream. Oh, hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Let me show you something. Are you with me tonight? You know what? I don't want to read from verse 1. I end up reading from verse 1. It's all so good. I'll read from verse number 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord, Jeremiah 1:11. I know this wasn't in the notes. Are you there? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? Oh, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see the branch of an almond tree. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. I'm telling you, that's such a powerful scripture. You know, with God is whatever you see. Whatever you see. What do you see when you're young, when you look at yourself? What do you see about your future? Do you see yourself just living life as usual, going through the motions of life? Is that what you see? He says, what do you see? God is asking us tonight, what do you see? Do you see a glorious future? Hallelujah. A future filled with beauty, filled with happiness and joy and purpose. Do you see that future? So what do you see? Because he says, whatever you see, you know, he said to Abraham, when Abraham separated with Lot, the Lord appeared to Abraham. He says, Abraham, lift up your eyes and see. As far as you can see, I will give that unto you. You see, God is not in heaven saying, this blessing is for Abraham alone. In fact, I have a small portion of this blessing, so I'll separate it to Abraham, and then I'll give some to Emily. But Faith, we ran out. I'm sorry. You know, there's not enough for you. Maybe next time. Come 200 years from now. God is not like that. God is not in heaven. Oh, well, I'll give you something. Oh, you sinned today. So, no. Fix yourself. God is not in heaven doing that. He's a liberal God. He's a loaded God. You know, he doesn't deplete in resources. Do you understand what I just said? He's not limited in resources. He says, the gold is mine. The silver is mine. He's not lacking. Never lacking. All it takes is seeing as far as you can see. Can you see your future? Can you see a glorious future? Can you see yourself lifted from where you are? You know, that's what faith is. Faith is the... Oh, hallelujah. New definition. Faith is the ability to see with God's eyes. Through the word of God. When you look at this word and you read from this word and you read where he says, I will make you rich. What do you believe about that? Oh, there's a Bible verse like that. Do you know that? Do you have the Living Bible? Isaiah 1 verse 19. Hallelujah. Isaiah 1:19. Can someone look at it? I know they don't have the Living Bible anymore. Can someone look the TLB, Isaiah 1:18-19? Show you something. You have it in the TLB? Can I have it? It says, come, let us talk over says the Lord, no matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can take it out and make you as clean and freshly fallen, as freshly fallen snow. Wow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as snow. Verse 19. If you only let me help you. Oh, hallelujah. Because if you only let me help you, if you only obey, then I will make you rich. Do you see that? If you only let me help you, if you only obey, then I will make you rich. Simple. God is not complicated. Religion makes him complicated. He said, ain't that the truth? He's not. God only sees two colors. We know that. What does he see? Come on, what does he see? Yes, he only sees two colors. Faith and unbelief. He hates unbelief. He loves faith. Oh, yes. He loves people who have faith. He loves people who can dream and see like he sees. Hallelujah. Who can see the future, see what he has in store for us, and who can take a hold of what they've seen and run with it. Hallelujah. You know, oh, hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 1, verse from the Amplified. It says, arise from the depression and prostration which circumstances have kept you. Rise up to a new light, for your light has come. Arise. It doesn't matter where you are. It says, arise. I like how God talks. God doesn't say, I know you're depressed. I'm going to sit with you in depression. You know, that's what religion does. Let me tell you something. I'm a bust a bubble right now. I know we're young people, so we listen to all different types of things. Any music, any famous preacher who helps you wallow in your sickness and depression is not of God. That's a devil. All those beautiful songs that help you, you know, you pet your sickness, you pet your addiction, you know. That's of the devil. Yes. God is not like that. God is not like that. God doesn't help you cope. He's not a coping mechanism. He's not a coping mechanism. That's the lie of the devil, to keep people bound and depressed. No. God will break you out of that thing. I'm telling you, he will break you out of sickness, out of depression, out of heaviness, out of addiction, out of poverty. He will break you out. It doesn't help you cope when you're down there. I hate that. That's stupid. If he helps you cope, then I can find a coping mechanism somewhere else. No. Man. That's of the devil. God, the music you listen to. If you hear any coping thing, it's of the devil. That's some crazy stuff people are doing out there. But faith is now. Hallelujah. Faith moves mountains now. Yes. That's why I'm confident you can leave out of this place free from every heaviness, every depression, every oppression. Hallelujah. I'm confident because God, that's what he does. That's what he does. Not leave here, oh, I found some relief. You know what I'm talking about? Free. Not surviving. No. God will break you free and make you a man or woman who breaks other people free. Hallelujah. Why do you look upon us as though by our own holiness and our own strength we have made this man whole? It says, through his name, through faith his name, has made this man perfectly whole in the presence of you all. Acts chapter number 3. Through his name and faith in his name has made this man perfectly whole. Say perfectly whole. Yes, in the presence of you all. God doesn't do half jobs. Did you hear me? Yes. All he needs is faith. All right, back to my message. Amen. There is so much tonight. We're moving into greatness by the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, God, there's a message. I'm still writing it. I'm preparing it. I said it a couple months ago. The end vision. Say the end vision. The end picture. You see, God has a picture of how he expects young people to... who. You see, when he comes, we might still be young. We don't know. We might still be in our 30s, maybe early 40s. Or he might come next week. Who knows? Does it make sense? But there's a vision. There's a picture. There's a structure. There's a type of man, a type of young man, a type of young woman God is looking for when he comes back. Are you listening to me? Can I tell you one thing? He's not looking for a depressed one, or a heavy one, or a bound one. No, 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 no. Or a broke one, or a sick one. No, 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 no. That's not what he's looking for. Don't let the devil deceive you. He's looking. A man full of the Holy Ghost, a woman full of the Holy Ghost, full of purpose. Are you listening to me? Healed, whole, hallelujah, full of joy, running with the gospel, strong and very courageous. Hello? He's not looking for a person who's wailing and wishing to get helped. Are you hearing me? That's the end vision. Greatness. I said greatness. So, Genesis, oh man. I just read one scripture. I have so many. Matthew chapter number 4, verse 19. He said, follow me, and I will make you. Say, I will make you. Yes, I will make you fishers of men. Anyone who follows God, God makes them into something. Did you hear me? If you follow God, he'll make you. Did you hear what I said? If you follow God, he will make you. It's your choice. If you follow, he will make you. He says, if you keep my word, I'll make you have good success. I'll make you prosperous. And I'll make you have good success. If you follow me, I'll make you. You want to be made? You know, some we hear people are self-made. You know, I'm God-made. That's different. He can make you. We read last week from the book of Jeremiah. He said, I am what? The potter. You are the clay. That woman in the field said one thing. She said, if he made me, he can what? Come on, he said, if he made me, he can what? He can remake you. Chasing for success leads to many sorrows. Are you hearing me? Chasing for success leads to many sorrows. Chasing after God and after God's plan and God's vision leads to success. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? Attempting. The world would entice you to chase. Oh. Have you opened Instagram and you saw someone? Oh, you're like, whoa, this is amazing. I wish I had their life. Okay. I know. I'm the only one. That's fine. I'll preach about myself. This is amazing. So the world has a way of enticing you to desire the success that comes from the children who are not of God. It's true. And that's where young people are caught most of the time. Are you listening to me? But God has a better prescription. He says, the blessing of God makes a man rich and adds no sorrow. Those who found success their own way are full of many sorrows. You have no idea. But those who find success in following the prescriptions of God's word. Are you hearing me? If you follow what he says. Look at Abraham. Oh, let's read something. Genesis chapter number 5. I'm going to show you the difference. Are you with me? Genesis chapter number 5. We're going to skip. Verse 1. Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me.
Wait for me.
All right, so all them there, say, oh, wait for me to hurry up.
Hurry up.
Okay, hurry up. All right, Genesis chapter number 5. It says, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he created man in his own likeness. He made him in his likeness, in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. Say male and female.
Male and female.
Male and female.
Male.
Can we read that verse again? He created them male and what?
Female.
And blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And then jump down to verse number 4. Seth begot, it says, and after he begot Seth, the days of Adam were what? 800 years. And he had what? Sons and what? So all the days of Adam, that Adam lived, were 900 and what? 30 years. And he what? Verse number 6. Seth lived what? 105 years and begot who? Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years. And he begot what? Sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were what? 912 years. And he what? Are you seeing a pattern? All right, let's continue. Enosh lived 90 years and begot who?
Canaan.
After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years. And he had what? Sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were what? 905 years. And he what? Okay. Some people are catching up. Let's continue. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years. And he had what? Sons and daughters. After all the days of Canaan were what? 910 years. And he what? Oh, catching a pattern? One more? All right. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years. And he had sons and daughters. All the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. And he died. And he died. Kind of getting a pattern here. All right. Let's go to Jared. Jared lived 100. We're going somewhere. Are you following? I hope you're catching the pattern. Are you catching the pattern?
Yes.
What's happening here? People are giving birth to people, sons and daughters, and then what happens? They die. All right. Verse number 18. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived 800 years. 800 days. 800 years. 800 years. Jeez. That's a lot. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now listen. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, American version. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. There's a difference here. Are you following me? All these other guys, what happened? They lived, gave birth, died. Lived, gave birth, died. Lived, gave birth, died. Lived. Isn't that what people are just doing? Living, giving birth, die. Living, working, paying taxes, going to work, die. Nah, same thing. But here comes a man who's different. Something must have happened to Enoch. Say, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. You see, he had everything, but he walked with God. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Someone broke the cycle. Someone broke the cycle. Someone decided to do something different. I'm going to hook up with this God. You see, in life, you have that choice. You can be like all those other guys, and there are many of them. I'm telling you. That crowd has a lot of people packed. young people just living. It's like you ask, you know, you ask them, you meet people, and they think you're weird for talking about Jesus. Not knowing they're the ones who are lost. They're going to be listed among those other guys. They lived, they gave birth, they died. But Enoch walked with God. You know, you can walk with God. You can be different. Enoch is one of the people who are great, one of the greatest. God took him. He didn't die. Oh, yes. He walked with God. He was different. He broke the cycle. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Can we continue? Yes. Methuselah, who is what? The oldest, the man who ever lived the longest than anybody else. Lived 108. Oh, it's so sad. Thank God for knowing Jesus. Thank God for parents who know Jesus. I'm a PK. And we know we have some PKs here too. And because of what you see, you might end up despising the ministry, the things of God. But I thank God. I'm so glad I know Jesus. I'm so glad my parents serve Jesus. Hello? And you might not have parents who serve Jesus, but thank God you're serving him. Yes. Your kids will have parents who serve Jesus. Yes. Enoch walked with God. And then his son, what happened? That's why I'm thankful. Look at what happened to Methuselah. If my dad disappears because God took him, you think I'm not going to serve that God? You see what the problem is? Is what Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those who the God of this world has blinded their eyes. I'm surprised Enoch ended up the way, Methuselah ended up the way he did. His father walked with God. And some of you might have parents who walked with God, whether PKs or not. And you're here. You know, some people hate their parents. This is of the Lord. Some people hate their parents because their parents serve God. Some people hate their parents because their parents force them to come to church. Not knowing they were doing the best thing that could ever done. I don't want to be numbered among those other guys who just lived, gave birth, sons and daughters, died. I want to be numbered like Enoch, who walked with God. Hallelujah. Who achieved greatness by walking with God. Are you following me? So let's continue. Let's go to chapter number six, I'm sorry. Verse number 9 says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man. Oh, let's go further up. Let's read from verse 1. Again, always happens. All right. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth that daughters were born to them. And the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful and that they took them as wives for themselves. Of all whom they chose. Verse number 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bore unto them children, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and that he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah, say, but Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. Noah was different. Noah chose, the Bible says Noah was a righteous man. Noah chose to not follow the pattern. Noah and Enoch, out of all their genealogy, it's sad, but it's amazing at the same time. Out of all their genealogy, all the children they bore, all their genealogy from chapter 5, the whole chapter, this guy gave birth, this guy gave birth, only two people. Only two people, Enoch and Noah, walked with God. And only two people became great because they chose to walk with God. Are you following me? All I'm telling you tonight is that you have a choice. Bishop Edwards says, life is not funfair. Life is what? Warfare. Did you hear me? Life is not funfair. You see, the days that you're wasting, not deciding, is deciding. You see, the time is so short that we have to, as young people, decide now to live for Jesus all the days of our life. And not just a mental decision, a decision followed with clear, precise actions to seeing the advancement of the kingdom of God in our day and time. Are you hearing me? You see, we have to catch a godly vision. That's what we did. That's what we do here throughout today. We've caught a godly vision. As young adults, we've caught a vision to spread the gospel to every young person in every college in Pittsburgh. That's our thing. And we're going to do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? That's a God vision. You see, oh, hallelujah. Those who give their lives in service for God, those who give their lives to serve His purpose and His will, those who give their lives, give their time, give their energy, give their resources, sacrifice seemingly good things, have a great reward from Him. Jesus said, this is the words of Jesus, says, anyone who leaves his father and his mother, right, and all these good things, He says, shall in this life, say in this life. Yes. This is the words of Jesus, not Augustine. Jesus. He says, in this life they shall reap all those things. In other words, there is no loss in serving God. Are you hearing me? There is no loss in serving God. The world portrays it like a loss. They think we are lost they think we're lost when we begin to serve God. When they see us going around preaching, when they see us on fire for the Lord, when they see us worshiping and crying and dancing, oh, I'm so sorry, what's going on with those guys? Oh. When they see us living holy for the Lord, when they see us separating ourselves, consecrating our lives, they say, oh, you don't know what you're missing. Oh, you don't know. Have you ever been to the club? Have you ever smoked marijuana? They might not say, but when they look at you, that's what they're thinking. It feels good being clean. Can I get a witness? Yes. It does. Peace. I can't sleep. I can fall asleep right now. Holding this mic. I'm so peaceful. My life is not my own. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
My life, I've given it to Him. I've given Him my life. My future is secure in His hands. You see, my God has never failed. Doesn't make sense. Do you know that? He Oh, my gosh. Oh, Oh my gosh. You can trust him with your life.
Amen.
You can trust him with your future.
Amen.
Oh. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not yet I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Man who died for me and gave himself for me. My life is not my own. He's simple. He just wants you. He just wants you to say, Lord, I give you my life. Does that make sense? I entrust you my life. You know, when Jesus died, he says, Father, unto their hands I commend my spirit. Even in death, he could trust his Father. How much more now? Father, I give you my life. My future is secure in you. I refuse to worry. Yeah, you can do that. He says, don't be anxious in anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding. It doesn't make sense here, but it makes sense here. I know I'm coming out, whatever problem I'm in. I know I'm coming out by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm moving forward to greatness. You see, the secret of moving from surviving to greatness is really the truth. I can give you principles, and I have some written down. But the core principle is a life surrendered to him.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes.
Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
Truly, a life surrendered to him. Not, I'm a Christian, I'm a younger person, I know how young people think. Not superficially. Not here because I make an altar call. No. It don't work like that. God can't, you can't lie to God. Man looks at an outward experience and we might be impressed. Oh, thank God my sister got saved and gave their life to the Lord. We might be impressed by that. But God looks at the heart. He knows. He knows. You can't lie to him. He tries your commitment when you go home. He checks it. Did he really mean that? Let me see. Yeah. Give him your life truly. He'll make it a wonder. It'll be a journey of, I mean, she's laughing. She knows. Who knows? Enoch walked with God. And he was not. He didn't know that one day God would be so impressed with him. He'd just say, hey, boy, let's go hang out upstairs. Are you listening to me? The secret to being free. I'm hitting it here. The secret to being free from any oppression, from any depression, from any heaviness, from any addiction. Are you listening to me? The secret to living a life of purpose and meaning is surrendering. The only way you do it is by surrendering your life truly to Jesus. Yes. Truly. Truly. Truly to him. He will take that life. And make it a wonder. When the pressures of life come and hit, you don't feel them. You know, if you feel them, it's because you've... if you feel them, the truth is, you've let your eye look elsewhere. He said, when you keep your eye on him, you don't feel them. He says, cast all your burdens on him, for he cares. That's what he said. Take my yoke, for my yoke is easy and light. Are you listening to me? Can we be real? Can we talk?
Yes.
I want you guys, you know, God has entrusted you to me. I don't want young people living fake Christianity. I know a lot of young people are doing that. Yes, I know. I know. True Christianity is what Jesus said. Take your cross, which is just your life. Follow me. That's true Christianity. But he said this, if you follow me, I will make you. Did you hear what I just said? But the responsibility to take your cross and follow him, that's on you. But he said, if you follow me, I will make you. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, John chapter 8, verse 12, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that interesting? You find true life by following him. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Oh, I thank God. I thank God that tonight many are going to follow him truly from here. I lay aside every heaviness, every burden, every sin that so easily entices. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm making a commitment from the depth of my heart to follow him, to serve him in my young age. We started young and ready. Anybody remember that? Everybody that served God called them when they were young. Very few people. Even think of it, if people lived 800 years, 900 years, 80 was young. Do you get the point? You get the point, right? If you're living 800 years, 80 is very young. Yeah, so in the case of Abraham, if you had questions, yeah, he's young. But he said in the book of Leviticus that he called people between the ages of 17 to 25. That's what the Bible says. Some may argue even a little bit earlier than that, 15 to 25. He says he called them to serve in the house of the Lord. Does that make sense? That's when he called them. They served him. The moment they hit 50, I know some older people don't like it, but it's the Bible, and I'm teaching the Bible. The moment they hit 50, the Bible says that those who were 50 and above were supposed to instruct the ones who were serving the house of the Lord. That's Bible. God calls anybody. Hello, let me balance it. But the Bible says he calls them between 17 to 25. So, whether you're within that gap or above that gap, doesn't matter. All you got to do is hear the call and respond to the call. Doesn't make sense? Hear the call for service in the house of God. You see, hear the call that God is making. Oh, God is making calls. Hello? God is making calls to young people. Hey, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I have a great future for you. Hey, you see that campus? You see that campus? Hey, do something about it. You see that high school? It's yours, that's yours. Take it for Jesus. Will you dare to believe God? Can you dare to believe God? Can you? Doesn't make, that's it. Yeah. Dare to believe God. dare to believe his plans. Many people haven't believed his plans. They know about it. Oh, God called me. I know I've written about it. Many haven't, because when you believe, you take action. That's it. You take action. I'm going to that campus. Are you hearing me, Matt? I don't care. I don't care. This place belongs to Jesus. Wherever your footsteps on, that land have I given unto you. That's what he said to Joshua. I dare to believe God. I dare to believe his plans for me. You see, only be strong and very courageous. It's not for the weak. It's for the people who are courageous. But I thank God, there's an advantage. His name is the Holy Ghost. If you feel weak, if you don't feel unqualified, if you feel like you're not ready, there's someone who will make you ready. He's called the Holy Ghost. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, are you listening to me? When he comes on you, when he's stirred inside of you, you know, when they were threatening and beating them, they saw a miracle happen in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John walked to the gate called Beautiful. In the name of Jesus, rise up. That man got healed who was crippled for many years. All the religious leaders, religious people again, all the religious leaders rebuked them. Don't preach in that name. Oh, don't preach. They had more revelation about the name than most people do. They said, don't preach in that name. You know what they did? When they were being persecuted, you know what they did? They went to the prayer room. They were scared. I'm sure they were scared. They probably ran to, and then they got to the prayer room. And they said, okay, let's just pray. And they started praying. Kako shala baradas. Yega ba 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 bash. Before they know it, Yako ba 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 bash. Something is turning in the inside. Holy Ghost is turning in the inside. And it says, behold their threatenings. We have an advantage. When you're scared, get the Holy Ghost in you. When he comes, you see, they pray, behold their threatenings, and with all boldness, give us utterance, give us words to speak with all boldness, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your child, Jesus Christ, by stretching forth your hand to heal. When the Bible says that place where they were was the place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the same people who ran into a prayer room scared walked out and preached like they were madmen. They were caught the next time. And they were asked, why are you guys preaching? He says, what are you talking about? Should we obey you then rather than obeying God? You see? Man, I feel the anointing. Why? Learn how to get the Holy Ghost on. He's our helper. Do you know what I'm saying? He's there to help us. He was sent to help us. Lord, I believe. You know, when you get the Holy Ghost, you start talking like a madman. That belongs to me. That campus belongs to me. Jesus sent me for that. I'm taking that for the Lord. Something burns inside of you. When the Holy Ghost is stirred, it's like a fire. The Bible says it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I cannot contain it. If I put a fire in your bum, you gotta move unless something's wrong. But fire has a way of making you move. Are you hearing me? Yes, that's the Holy Ghost, like a fire. It'll make you bold. Oh, it's not my personality. You know, I'm an introvert. Yeah, I'm an introvert. Okay. Get the Holy Ghost in you. All that introvert stuff will blow out. That's the truth. I'm an introvert, since we're talking. No way. She said, no way. No. Get the Holy Ghost in you. Get stirred in the Holy Ghost. Get lost in the, oh. Get stirred in the Holy Ghost. Then you walk that place like you own it. And when you speak, it's not mere words. When you speak, there's a divine influence in your words. Hallelujah. Your words pierce the hearts of men. That's what happens when we go to preach in those campuses. We're just there hype and they think we're just normal. You know, you saw the video. I don't know if you have the recap, whatever. We're just jumping and having fun. Not knowing there's someone behind the scenes doing something. The moment you hold that mic, they must listen. They must listen. They must listen. Because the Holy Ghost. And then you pray for them. You see them weep. How is that possible? Have you ever thought about that? We're just sitting like this, and one man is speaking, and people are crying because of the impact of the words that he's speaking. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's some of you God saved recently. Maybe that, I'm sure that's what happened. Babies are crying. The Holy Ghost. There's no excuse when you have the Holy Ghost. There's no weakness when you have the Holy Ghost. He's the secret for greatness. Truly, that's the second secret. You give your life to Him, then you yield. Say, learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. You learn to what?
Yield
to the Holy Ghost. Stop acting cool and there's no time for that. There's no time for that. There's no time. There's no time. Jesus is coming soon. And there'll be thousands and thousands, like what we just read. Young men and women just give their lives. They're born, they give birth to children, and they die. They're born, they give, and they go to hell, by the way, if they don't receive Jesus. But you can get full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Bible says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall become witnesses. He will make you a witness. Hallelujah. He told Paul, I've appeared for you for this reason, to make you a minister and a witness. You know who a witness is? He's a proof producer. That's who a witness is. I'm witnessing of the resurrection power of God. But I can also produce proof. I can say in the name of Jesus, cancer, go out. In the name of Jesus, depression, leave. I'm a witness, but I'm a proof producer. The Holy Ghost will make you a proof producer, sister. Oh, yes. You don't have to live life timid anymore. Inferior, sick, begging for help. You have the helper. Learning how to yield to Him. You see, that's what service should be, yielding to Him. Oh, yes. Get so lost in the Holy Ghost, drunk in the Holy Ghost. Ma-ba-ba-ba-shanda. Oh, who are you, oh great mountain? You're inoculated, intoxicated by the Holy Ghost. The mountain before you seems very inferior. When people are panicking, perfect peace. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusted in thee. Peace. You're in charge. Peace that surpasses understanding. It's of the Holy Ghost. How do you move from surviving to greatness? You make a decision to serve the Lord Jesus truly from your heart, number one. Number two, you yield to the Holy Ghost. Yes. You yield your life to the Holy Ghost. It's interesting about this Holy Ghost thing. It's interesting, people have the helper but neglect the help. I don't get it. It's so common. I think it's a religious thing. People actually have the helper, but they choose to neglect the helper. They're trying to find their own way out of the problem. No. There's a Holy Ghost. He will guide you out. I said he will guide you out. When you follow his path, he'll connect you with the right people. How am I in Pittsburgh? How are you here today? You have no idea. How am I here? How are you here? How is your family here now? It's the Holy Ghost. You learn how to follow him. It says, a wise man sees danger afar off. Proverbs says that. And he makes his way through it. But a foolish goes and he's hurt. A wise man is one who's learned how to follow the Holy Ghost, because he is the spirit of wisdom. Yes, he will guide you. You meet the right people. Hello. You follow the Holy Ghost, you meet your spouse. Hello. Tana said, I believe that. Yes, that's the truth. When there's so much pressure and people are pressuring you, do that. There is a voice from within. Isaiah 31 verse 19, thou shalt hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way, go ye in it. Walk ye in it. Open doors by the Holy Ghost. Promotion at work by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You just know what to do. When these three young people were brought in Babylon, they knew what to do. They had the Holy Ghost. They had the Spirit of God. The Bible says that an excellent spirit was found to be in Daniel. He says he was able to answer hard questions when all the wise people of the land, all the magicians, oh, hallelujah. When you're brought before people, maybe at your workplace, people who are reputed for knowing what to do, they're reputed in that industry, they're excellent in that industry, and you're brought there as a novice and you don't know what to do, hallelujah, you tune into the Holy Ghost. Ha. Can I take a break? Let me go to the restroom. Ha. Maga shobra dale bardes. Manda kababayes. Ya kababash. You know, I heard this as a story, but I lived it. It's different. It's real. Yes, I lived it. It's real. You walk out of there knowing exactly what to do. You know what Jesus said? When you're brought before kings, do not preconceive or prethink what you say. Because in that time, the Spirit of your Father will speak through you. It's real. The Holy Ghost will speak. And they'll be moved and shaken by the wisdom that's coming through your mouth. He'll take you up. He'll elevate you. He'll bring you to greatness. He will. You can trust him with your life. Are you hearing me? The Bible says, cursed is any man. There's a curse upon people who believe in themselves. Hello. I know, don't say that. That's true. I believe in my ability. God is not pleased with that. You weren't designed to believe in yourself. Man wasn't designed to lead himself. The Bible says, not given for a man to know his own way. But there's a spirit in a man, and the bread of the Almighty gives him understanding. In other words, the Holy Ghost inside of you will guide you. Are you listening to me? Okay, you might be in a problem, a situation, a financial hardship. Follow the Holy Ghost. Follow the Holy Ghost. Don't put your faith in men. Allow God to move on the hearts of people. Are you hearing me? You might be sick and afflicted. Follow the Holy Ghost. Believe what he says. Are you listening to me? Lord, I want a promotion. I want a house this year. Follow the Holy Ghost. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. But there's a way of God. I said there's a way of the Holy Ghost. That way is full with green pastures. Hallelujah. I said he'll guide you into green pastures. It's the way of the Holy Ghost. That's the way of greatness. Hallelujah. That's the way of fulfillment. There's no fulfillment in all these other things. There's no fulfillment in sex. There's no fulfillment in drugs. There's no fulfillment in all these other vices. There's only fulfillment in the Holy Ghost. He's like a wine. When you get drunk in him, hallelujah, all the worries of this world fade away. Yes. Have you ever been in prayer? You went there depressed or heavy or troubled by something, and then you prayed and you were still troubled, and somehow you finally forgot about your trouble, and you're allowed to just allow the Holy Ghost. Ever had that experience? And you walk out of prayer full of peace and happiness. What happened? You drank or something. Some people don't understand what I'm talking about. It's better felt than telt, like they say. Yes. It's real. He's real. He's real. Every morning I wake up. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, he's real. You see, I don't have the ingenuity or the wittiness or the smartness to order my life. I don't. Some of you are looking at me like, you don't? I don't. But he does. I said he does. He knows exactly where he's taking me. Hallelujah. I like what Paul said in the book of Colossians. He says, putting your faith in him and your trust in him. He says, fully leaning your entire person on him. Amazing. When you do that, when you learn to do that, I say when you learn to do that, we're going to practice it tonight. When you learn to yield to the Holy Ghost, oh, ma ba 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 shanda. When you learn to yield to the Spirit of God, say, Father, carry me, hallelujah. I like those songs that guy said, carry me in the wings of eagles, carry me. Carry me. Take me where you want to take me. Hallelujah. My future is in your hands. I trust you with my future. Hallelujah. I trust you with my plans. I give you my plans, Lord. His plans for you, my friend, they're greater. Have you ever followed a genuine man of God? Look at their life. Look at the life of our pastors. There's no math calculation or investment calculation could get you there. None. Just the Holy Ghost. No one opens a church in 15 months and we are where we at. The impact that we are having. No one. If you follow church history, no one. Just the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Just the Holy Ghost. He brings the people in. He brings the money in. Hallelujah. The people you would have spent your entire life looking to get connected to, he connects them with no effort. With no effort. So why are you wasting your time trying to make it in life? I'm trying to make it in life. Stop trying to make it. I'm trying to make nothing. I'm trying to live out God's plan for my life. I'm following the Holy Ghost. His plans for me are greater than anything I could have conjured up by myself anyway. Are you hearing me? So, you make a decision. It starts with making a decision. Father, I'm giving you my life. Truly, from the bottom of my heart, I'm dedicating my life in service to you. Are you listening to me? Yes. I'll be found working in the house of God. I'm pushing. I like saying, I'm pushing your agenda. I think that's better than just saying, I'm giving my life. I'm giving you my life, and then I'm pushing your agenda. That's true Christianity. When you follow him, you're following his agenda. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these other things that people are wasting their time killing, getting lost in drugs, find themselves in prison, getting pregnant before time, wasting their life. All these things, God would just add them to you. Are you hearing me? You say, Lord, I'm giving you my life. And then you get, once you give him your life, you learn how to yield to the Spirit of God. That's the secret for life. Okay, let's be practical. Because I don't want you to say, what did he just preach? Get home. Take time. Say, take time.
Take time.
Every day.
Every day.
Yes, you have to repeat that part. Take time every day. Right? Take at least 20 minutes of your day to worship and pray in the Holy Ghost. That's how it starts. I gave you something practical to do, right? I didn't say 1 hour. We'll get there. But allow yourself. Are you listening to me? Yield to him. He has a track record of lifting men from the dung and seating them with kings. That's what he does. He knows how to do that. He knows the way up. Are you listening to me? He knows how to take the beggar, clean them up, dress them, and sit them with kings. Take poor old David, the shepherd boy, somehow found himself to be king over Israel. Only God can do that. Take poor old Joseph, despised by his family, hated by these brothers, thrown in a dungeon, thrown into prison, accused falsely, takes that young boy, makes him prime minister of a nation. Only God can do that. Sounds like a movie, but it's real. Only God can do that. Are you listening to me? Take poor old Peter, unstable in all his ways. One day he's speaking for God, one day he's speaking for Satan. One day he's making promises, oh, they will not kill you. God, Jesus knew about that. Yeah, no problem. Gave him the Holy Ghost. That timid Peter who could not testify before a young girl became the mighty preacher, the Pope. Preached to 3,000 people. And then preach again to 5,000 people. No microphone. Holy Ghost. God knows how to do that. So you don't have to calculate the workings of your life. Is planning wrong? No. Planning is good. But submit that plan to him. Are you listening to me? Follow him with all your heart. Make sure you're planted in the house of God. Hey, are you listening to me? I know I can tell you cute things and rhymey things. I'm telling you secrets for life. The Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, prosper in the courts of their God. Don't be the ordinary Sunday morning Christian. Don't be like that, young people. Be committed to seeing the advancement of the kingdom of God. If there's an outreach, be there. Hello?
Yes.
There's prayer, be here and pray. I like the great man of God. I was listening to, my friend sent me a video, I was listening to it. And he said, every morning me and my wife, this is the great, one of the greatest evangelists in our generation. Impacted more people, second to Jesus, than anybody I know. He says, every morning, me and my wife, on our knees for 2 hours, we would saturate our lives in ministry and prayer. You know who that is? T.L. Osborne. Never hear him. Yeah, that's what he said. And the impact he made. He started mass crusades. They never used to do mass crusades. He started it. What a glorious, beautiful life, serving the Lord. So be committed. take the things of God seriously. There's a tendency to take things passively. Doing it for Pastor August is going to see me. Augustine's going to see me. You know, I'm going to come for the young adults. Or Pastor Jonathan's going to see me, you know. I'm doing it for the Instagram post. He's going to like it. There's no reward in there. The Bible spoke about praying. He says, if you pray before outside so people can see you, that's your reward. The fact that they show you, that's your reward. But if you pray in secret, if you do things from the bottom of your heart to God, he says, he who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? So your commitment in the house of the Lord, I mean, nothing should beat that. Nothing should beat your time of prayer. Nothing should beat your commitment in the house of God. Nothing should beat your time for evangelism and preaching the gospel to others. Christianity 101. Are you hearing me? And as you do that, and as you yield to the Holy Ghost while doing that, I'm telling you, it's like, I can't explain. There's like a wind of the Holy Ghost that will lift. Your life takes a new meaning. There's nothing, I'm telling you the truth. Serving God plays all around. His benefits take care of everything. Are you listening to me? You think you're just serving God in the house of God and worshiping and serving and ushering and security, whatever you're doing, you think it's just that? No, when God repays, God can squeeze 30 years in 2 months. It's not a waste. Greatness in the kingdom is only by the Holy Ghost. Yes. It's not a waste. It's not a waste coming to prayer. It's not a waste going out on Saturdays or whatever days. It's not a waste. It's not a waste. It's the greatest honor to serve the King of Kings. It's the greatest honor. As a young person, I'm telling you, because God knows the many things you could have been doing. He's fully aware of that. You think God is stupid? You know, he's not. He knows. So he understands the sacrifice. But the sacrifice can never be compared to the reward. The reward of service in the house of God. And our reward transcends beyond time. Hallelujah. Oh, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And now there remains, a crown of righteousness which the Lord shall give me. If you're 25 years old, right? And there's a 85-year-old man. Does that make sense? And now he's lived his life. Now he wants to serve the Lord. But unfortunately, Jesus is coming back in 3 years. What difference does it make whether you're 85 or 25? You have 3 years. I said, you have what? 3 years to accomplish God's plan on your life. Whether you're 85 or you're 25 or you're 5, all of you have what? 3 years. No need to waste any time. Are you listening to me? No need to push things, I'll do it next week. Tomorrow is not promised. Life is not a funfair. The decisions we make now determine our destiny. Are you hearing me? So we have to make decisions in line with God's purpose on our lives. For the sake of our own lives. For the sake of our children's lives. Jesus deserves everything. 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 I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is, I like that, it is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. to the Jew first, and then to the second to the Gentile. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. That's what the Bible says. I'm not ashamed. It's real, oh. It's real. The gospel is power. I'm so honored to carry a powerful message of a powerful God. Hallelujah. To a needy world. I'm honored to carry a powerful message of a powerful God to a needy world. And when they hear, their lives can be changed. Their lives can be changed. And that reward is on my account. Nothing greater than that. And while I'm doing that, God is blessing me, blessing my family, blessing my children, blessing my money, hallelujah, blessing my relationships. I'll not lack anything. The Bible says that God pays the laborers good wages. Does that make sense? So everybody, it's not a pastor's job. Everybody. I said everybody. It's not a pastor's job. It's not an evangelist's job. It's for everybody. And whoever decides to hook up themselves with God, oh, they experience all the benefits. I said they experience all the benefits. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. Who crowns our life with loving kindness. All his benefits. Serving God makes you a candidate of all his benefits. Hallelujah. You move from surviving. This is a secret. You move from just surviving in life. Oh, I'm just barely making it. I'm coming to church to find help. I want pastor to pray for me. I'm depressed. No. You get hooked up with the Holy Ghost, your speech changes. Yes, your speech changes. You're not weak, you're bold. It says the righteous are as bold as a lion. You're not timid anymore. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Whew. Praise God. I could preach like this forever. This thing is real. It's not stories. It's real. And you can, as a young person, you can hook up your life. You got to be smart. Can I share you a secret of life? You got to be smart. What do they call it? Cheat? No, whatever, I forgot. Cheat code or life what? Cheat. Life hack. Yeah, there you go. Life hack. Hook up with Jesus. Yeah. When you're young and you hook up with Jesus, your future is secure. Are you hearing me, my sister? You can leave here tonight knowing that God, knowing that from my heart I've decided to serve the Lord, and because of that decision, my future is secure in God. And then now I have the Holy Ghost, who is a present help every time. He lives in me. I can access him anytime. He lives with me. You can leave here tonight like that. Know that I'm secure. I have the help of heaven. I have God on my side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
To get daily teaching from Augustine and to follow our event schedule around the world, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the Proof Producers podcast. By partnering with Proof Producers, you will help us take the saving and healing power of Jesus to the world. Your giving changes lives forever. For more information, visit us online at augustinempemba.com. Thank you for your prayer and financial support.